Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, QT and Sangai here with you on another Friday. Before we get going, some show notes. If you're looking for wrestling in the next couple of days to attend, tonight, WCWO as usual at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis. All-Star Wrestling up in Surrey, British Columbia. PSW in Piedmont, Alabama. APW in Royston, Georgia. Primetime Wrestling in Bloomington, Minnesota. AIW in Cleveland, Ohio. Tomorrow night, PWA in Jasper, Alabama, RCW in Springbrook, Alberta, PPW in Milford, Delaware, PWA in Carrollton, Georgia, SSPW in Eaton, Georgia, AAW in Chicago, Illinois, APW in Summit, Illinois, Pro Wrestling King in Elkhart, Indiana, NSCW in Monticello, Kentucky, WCCW in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, UWE in Cadillac, Michigan, Pro Wrestling Battleground in St. Paul, Minnesota, SDW in Richfield, Minnesota, NYWC in Deer Park, New York, IZW in Lawton, Oklahoma, BKPW in Niagara Falls, Ontario, NCW in Montreal, Quebec, Magnum Pro in Omaha, Nebraska, Gouge having their annual turkey show in Durham, North Carolina, and PPW in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Get out there, support your local independents, wherever they may be. And really quick, before we bring the guest on, I don't like doing 10 bells in a normal instance, but yesterday we lost Tommy Gilbert. If anybody knows anything about me, having listened to this show any length of time, he was my wrestling father. He was the person without, there would be no Sangai. So best wishes to Miss Peggy, Doug, and Kim, and all the family, and all the people that are missing him today. So we're going to hit the 10 bell in honor of the late Tommy Gilbert. Now I want to bring our guest on board. He is the current reigning and defending NWA Pacific Northwest Television Champion. Lone Star, it's been an absurdly long time since you've been with us. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Sangai. I appreciate that.
Well, since you are the Pacific Northwest Television Champion, representing the NWA, you want to tell us a little bit about getting that championship and what it means to you at this point in your career?
Yeah, you know me, Sangai. I've held a lot of titles throughout my career, a vast span of like 16 years now. And this is probably one of the most prestigious titles that I've held to this date. You know, and when you break into the business at the age of 32, most people just kind of look at you and go, okay, he's going to be a flash in the pan. But I've been around now, like I said, almost 16 years, and I'm still kicking it strong with guys half my age. So, You know, this is a definite honor to hold a title such as this.
And this particular title goes back to the Don Owens era. I know you grew up watching the Don Owens product as well, and Sandy Barr after that, I believe, continued the lineage of the title. What's it like having a title that was held by men that you grew up watching as a fan before you got into the business?
Well, it's an amazing honor. Like, as you said, you know, growing up watching the Don Owens era of Portland wrestling, and then working for Sandy Barr for 6 years till he passed away, this title definitely means a lot. The list of guys that that held it before me, you know, wow. Being able to train through Billy Jack Haynes' school, it all come together means a lot, you know.
One of the things about your career is you've fluctuated quite a bit between tag teams and singles. You've held a lot of tag team titles. You've held a lot of different championships as a singles. In your mind, is there a major difference between tag team wrestling and singles wrestling as far as what you perceive wrestling to be?
Oh, absolutely. With tag team, you know, you have a partner that you can rely on to kind of help you get through that thing. With a singles title, such as the NWA Pacific Northwest Television Championship that I currently hold, that's a lot different. You have to work a little harder because you don't have anybody that can give you that little bit of a break there. So it's a lot tougher to hold a singles title.
Now, of course, you've had several partners over the course of your career, probably most notably Cowboy Tex Thompson as part of the Cowboys. When you walk to the ring with the name Lone Star, but you have a partner, is that kind of a pun?
A lot of people would say yes. It's just it's because of the Lone Star State. That's how I got that. Being a cowboy from Dallas Fort Worth, you know, it's one of those things that they kind of throw at you. They throw at you different names, and they think, you know, this moniker will stick or that moniker will stick. But the one that stuck the best with me, and you can thank Dr. Luther for that one. Out of Canada, when I started wrestling for Portland Wrestling, second generation with Frank Culberson, he's the one that kind of brought that one up and says, "Well, let's give this one a shot." And I've been running with it ever since, and it's worked for me.
I will thank Dr. Luther the next time I see him, but it's been like 8 years since I last saw that man. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw him was, I think it was an episode of SmackDown or Raw. He was sitting in the audience with his best friend, Chris Jericho.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Now, since you've broke in, and in the last 5 years or so, social media has really made an impression in the wrestling business, good or bad. There's several different social media sites now that companies big and small try to utilize to promote and try to do various things with. What's your opinion on how social media has impacted the business as a whole, be it independent or be it the national companies?
Well, anytime you get social media involved in things, there's going to be some good and there's going to be some bad. You know, unfortunately, I think that there's some of the guys out there that just don't quite understand how to use it correctly. You know, you get on there and you throw your personal stuff out there and you know, bash this company, bash that company. And you can't do that. I mean, we're all independents and we have to help each other out. You know, we may not like each other, but that doesn't mean we have to bash them. You know, with BCW, our policy is that if you're going to say something about somebody, it better be positive, or you may not have a job. You know, the independents, we rely on a lot of that stuff for our advertising because there's so many people out there that get into the social media. You know, they just, I don't know. It's one of those things. I don't go on there much because I see a lot of negativity, and I'm tempted to, but, you know, I'm a grown man. It's not my thing to bash. I will promote, but I will not bash.
Very wise choice, I think. One of the things that you've done in the course of your career is you've trained people for professional wrestling. So one of the most notable, DeMarcus James, the only other person out of BCW I can think of besides my health to ever held the Hoosier Pro Wrestling Tag Team title. What was it like being able to train some of these guys to get into the business and see where their careers have taken them?
Well, you know, after training with guys like the Grappler and Scott Ferris and Sandy Barr, Richie Magnet, God, man, the list can go on. It's really an honor to take some of these guys and just basically run them through the same thing that I ran through. And the ones that stick around, you know, they do well for themselves generally. I wouldn't even think of trying to train somebody if I didn't know what I was doing. You know, if it was going to be a laughing stock, then I sure the hell wouldn't be a part of it. To take somebody like DeMarcus James, who he had an idea, and coming from a boxing background, I knew he would do okay if he would listen to me, and he has, and he's done very well for himself. I'm very proud to say that I trained DeMarcus James. You know, he's probably one of my proudest trainees. He's really done well.
I believe any time you have promoters calling other promoters to come watch you when you're in town for the very first time, that's a mark that you're doing something right. And DeMarcus definitely had that happen.
Yeah, he's told me, you know, about some of the places he's been, and when I ask him, you know, hey, who's the one that trained you? And he says, oh, Lone Star out of Oregon. It's a good feeling, man. You know, it really is. It's very well appreciated for sure.
Now, as you said, you've been doing this about 16 years now, and with any of us that are in this business for any length of time, injuries happen from time to time. What are some of the injuries that you've had to overcome so far in your career?
Well, you know, I can honestly say I'm blessed and very lucky that I have not had any super serious injuries. I've had my nose broke 10 times in the last 16 years. I've pulled the muscles in my chest. I think that's probably the worst of it, really. I mean, I'm a very lucky man. Coming from a very athletic background prior to pro wrestling, learning, you know, with my martial arts background to roll, kind of roll with the punches, as they would say. I've been real lucky not to do any of the crazy stuff. Not that I wouldn't do a little bit of it, but I prefer to keep myself kind of grounded a little bit. And I've had literally thousands of matches over the past 16 years, and I've come out of them, walking out of them generally.
Now, everybody that's around this business for a little while has one of those moments that absolutely terrifies you, regardless if it's yourself in the ring or if you're just watching other people in the ring. But everybody's got that moment that absolutely terrifies them. What's been some of the scariest moments you've had to witness in there?
Anytime you see somebody legitimately carried out of a ring or an arena and going to an ambulance, that's bad. I had Keith Atkins as a partner. In fact, he's the one that I took the title from and retired him. I was there. Him and I were tag teaming for a promotion called NWWA. He broke his leg in the middle of the ring, and the man finished the match, and then they carried him out on a stretcher and took him to the hospital. Aside from seeing that firsthand, myself, I was wrestling against tag team, the Hounds of Hell at BCW, and they belly to back me. I landed funny. I heard a pump, a pop, and a crunch, and I thought I broke something in my back or my neck, and they took me to the back. Thank God it turned out it wasn't anything, just basically my back popped. I was really lucky. That's probably the two times I've been the most scared or terrified of a situation. I haven't seen anything super crazy over the years that's really, really bothered me at all. You know, most of the stuff I understand is part of the show, so.
I will confirm that the time they carried you out on the stretcher was extremely scary.
Yeah, I believe you were the ref for that one.
I was not, but I ran out there. One of the few times I ran out without being directed to. Now, I know that you are a big fan of boots. You've had many different boots in your career. If you were to discount yourself for the time being, who would you say has the best boots in the business right now?
Well, I'm a big fan of Western style wrestling boots. Not many of the guys wear them anymore. In fact, I've had a hard time trying to find. I've found a couple of pairs myself, but you know, that's a tough one. I can't think of anybody right off the top of my head that's got the fancy boots. You know, everybody's either doing the red and the black and the white, the black. I think that the guy that I liked, I mean, the one that had the nicest boots was maybe Magnum TA back in the day.
He did have nice boots. Now, have you ever seen any boots on anyone ever anywhere like the one Bill Irwin had as the Goon, where he had to have hockey skate style wrestling boots?
No, that's a new one. I mean, the guys can get pretty creative, you know, especially if you're in the indies. The guys will go and they'll get their average work boot, and they'll have them modified somehow. They'll have a sole put on them or whatever. We did have a guy when I first broke in the business that had he came in the ring with loggers boots on. And I tell you, when you see that coming at your face from across the ring, that's scary. Because, I mean, the guy was, he's like 6'6", about 260, 270. And my father being a logger for 45 years, I saw those cork boots and stuff a lot. And seeing them big logging boots coming at you, that's some scary stuff, bro.
Had he modified the logging boots?
He had the sole shaved down and a sports sole put on him. And believe me, the guys were thanking him.
That would be something I would enjoy having knowledge of prior to said Fudd coming at me.
Yeah, that was back in OCW, man, when we first started training under Scott Ferris. The guy's name was Ox Baker Jr., and he was just a big dude. And when he whipped you in and you come off, that boot was in the air already, and you were just, there was nowhere to go. So, yeah, it was a little scary.
if it's the same Ox Baker Jr. that still is competing in the Midwest, I know that guy.
Yeah, it might be. You know how wrestlers are. They move around a lot.
That's true. He might still be out there. I come across him on very rare occasion. Now, in your career over 16 years, you've come across a lot of referees, and Sandy Barr, who, of course, you mentioned trained you, was most notable as a referee. I think he had more fame as a referee than he did in-ring even. Who are some of the better referees over the last 16 years that you've come across?
Well, you know, when you go to different promotions and stuff, everybody's got their own referees. And I've met a lot of nice guys. There's only probably been a less than a handful that I've run across that have, you know, been out there for themselves. I would have to say Mark Watson was a good one. You know, whether he was officiating my matches or whoever's, I love to watch him. He was so professional about it. And we've got some local guys too, T-Rex, yourself, and who can discount sign guy, right?
I try. Well, at this point, we have a game we like to play. You've done this before, called Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people you've come across in your career. First word or two that pops into your mind to describe them, that would be your answer. Are you ready for a round of word association?
Sure, let's give it a shot.
All right. First one, Buddy Highway.
Worker.
Moose Morrow.
Beast.
Sunny Days.
Sweetheart.
Bad Blood.
I'll be nice about it. I was going to say egotistical, but we'll let that one go. No, he's a true champ. True champ.
Marty Jannetty.
Oh, consummate professional.
Big Vicious.
Devastating.
The Greaser Ronnie Angel.
Slickster.
MJ Payne.
True Ladies Champ.
Mark Watson.
Super Ref.
Exile.
I'll pass on that one.
Greg Lake.
Say again?
Greg Lake.
I don't know that I know that one.
All right. Darkness.
Up and comer.
Wonderful Zach Winters.
Egotistical.
Paul Moonshine.
True character.
The final one, Randy Taylor.
Randy Taylor. Oh, wow. Awesome mentor.
Well, this time, QT standing by, and QT has some questions for you, so does help you as I pass you over to QT for a bit.
All right.
Well, hi, Lone Star.
How you doing?
How you doing? Pretty good. I'd like to expand a little bit on Sun Guy's word association. How about J.B. Moonshine?
J.B. Moonshine. Up and comer, for sure.
All right. How about Aaron Bolo?
Wow. I haven't seen him in so long. Incredible worker.
Okay. How about Christopher Isaac?
self-centered.
Oh, okay. All right. Would you like to have an autographed mirror from him?
No, I'll pass, thanks.
Oh, okay.
All right. How about Chief Attakulakula?
The guy's been in the business 30 years, man. What can you say?
Yeah, that's true. He moves very well for a big man, and I like his hairstyle myself. Yes. All right. Well, Lone Star, I saw your NWA Blue Collar Wrestling video and match on YouTube that was filmed this past Sunday at the North Portland Eagles and was reffed by Sign Guy. Now, I couldn't help but notice that Sign Guy was very careful with the heavyweight belt that you gave him, and he raised it above his head to acknowledge the importance of it. But at no time did he ask for your cowboy hat. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is your cowboy hat compared to the BCW heavyweight belt?
Well, first off, the belt was not the BCW belt. It was the Pacific Northwest NWA Television Championship. But as far as the hat goes, you know, hats come and go, titles come and go. But I would say the prestigiousness of the title is way far above the hat.
Okay. All right. Would you compare your hat as important to you as Diafola Dabashi's curled toed wrestling boots that, from what I hear, have obtained a cult-like following status in Yemen?
Well, as far as the hat goes, I mean, it's a Texas tradition to wear that hat. So, yeah, I would – that's pretty close.
Okay. What would be your word association for Diafola Dabashi?
Crazy.
Oh, okay. Crazy? Okay. All right. Well, Lone Star, the fans were really giving Zach Winters a hard time and calling him chicken right near the 2 minute and 30 second mark. That, and with your intimidating Karate Kid crane-like pose, made him bail out of the ring at the 2:32 mark. He then proceeded to walk to the dressing room while Sign Guy started the count. He then came back to the ring and stood on the apron at the count of 6. At this point, he grabbed Sign Guy, and I'm not sure what he said, but he finally entered the ring at the 3-minute mark. He then immediately bailed 3 seconds later and went to the dressing room again. But this time, you had had enough. You went back and caught Zach Winters and threw him back into the ring at the count of 8. Now, normally, most wrestlers would feel wary of a trap that Zach might spring, an ambush, if you will, especially when he twice went to that dressing room. Did it cross your mind that he would stoop that low to ambush you on his second trip to that dressing room?
Oh, absolutely. Zach Winters is not one to be trusted with, especially when, you know, he's part of the group that started by Bad Blood and it's got Petrov in it and a couple other guys. Anytime you're going into there, you know, the bee's nest, if you will, yeah, there's always a chance you might get yourself in some trouble.
Okay, all right. Well, after you gave him a running bulldog, a knife-edge chop, and a belly-to-belly suplexed, he managed a comeback by raking your eyes. He then yelled at Sarge at the 4:36 mark, who was standing at ringside. How important has Sarge been as a manager and technical expert in leading you to the championship?
Well, you know, anytime you've got somebody that's got a military background like myself that's going to stand there and support you like that, you know, we are brothers in arms, so it's a great motivator for sure.
Now, can you remind our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, I think this was covered in our last interview, what military service you served in and for how long? Yeah, I was in the United States Army for 14 years.
Fantastic, fantastic, yes. I also managed to go 20 in the Coast Guard, yes. Okay, well, now Lone Star, at the 446 mark, Zach leapt up into the air, and then he came crashing down with his left knee across your nose, and then he straddled your chest and hit you with 10 straight right hands. My question is, at Brett Favre's jersey retirement ceremony yesterday at Lambeau Field, they had Hall of Fame quarterback Bart Starr in attendance. Throughout his career, Bart received many blows to the head, including one that kept him off the field for 7 months. He is quoted as saying that he doesn't remember much of his playing days. Will Zach just knee you in the head and then he punched you 10 times? Aren't you worried you could end up like Bart Starr if you keep on taking more of these blows?
You know, with professional wrestling, there's always a chance you take. Anytime you get in that ring, you're putting your life on the line. It's one of those things that, I mean, I have a pretty, like I said, a pretty extensive martial arts background, so I won't say I'm used to taking the shots because I don't think you ever get used to it, but it's just one of the, it's one of those things, man.
Okay. At the 506 mark, Zach showed poor sportsmanship and shoved Sign Guy. Should he be suspended for such actions, and have you ever shoved a referee?
You know, as a past booker for promotions and trainer and stuff, yeah, you know, you're not supposed to put your hands on the referees. That's a no-no, major no-no. And, you know, it's kind of at the discretion of the promoter. He sure could have called the match. Sign Guy could have. He could have told him, look, you're done, that's it, and disqualified him. Thankfully, he didn't. He allowed it to go with a warning. But again, it's one of those things that, yeah, out of respect for your official, you shouldn't put your hands on him. And yes, to answer your other question, I have done it in the past. So, you know, but I learned from my mistakes.
Oh, okay. All right. Very, very well said. Okay. The 7 minute mark, you delivered a headbutt to Zach that it made him collapse in the corner. But it also made you wobbly, and again, you applied a headbutt at the 7:14 mark, but you may have gotten the worst of this, because Zach was able to deliver a right cross to you at the 7:27 mark. My question is, the Samoans seem to be the master of the headbutt. The Wild Samoans, for example, use this technique to great advantage, and another was Jimmy Snuka. You also slowed Zach Winters down with your headbutts, but appeared to come out of this worse for wear and tear. At this point, was your headbutts less effective because of the earlier knee drop to the bridge of your nose and the 10 punches mentioned earlier delivered to your head? Psychologically, could you have taken off a little bit of the speed of your headbutt delivery?
Yeah, you know, that's probably not one of the smartest things I've done. My head is not near as tough as Jimmy Snook is, for sure. I mean, he split a coconut over in the open on his head, and it didn't faze him. I'm not going to try that.
Has anyone ever approached you with a coconut as a foreign object at Blue Collar Wrestling?
Not at BCW, no.
How many times in the past had you had a chance to meet Jimmy Snuka?
I've probably met Jimmy half a dozen different times. The first time I met him was prior to me being a professional wrestler. I was just a fan. Stanley Barr was doing Championship Wrestling USA in Vancouver, and I took my oldest son to a show, and my son and his son played in the park while him and I sat on the hood of his car and had a nice long conversation about professional wrestling.
Oh, wow, nice, nice. He certainly had big arms and a thick neck, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Wow, Wow. I wish I could have met him. All right. Well, Lone Star, at the 9:02 mark, Zach had both your arms torqued behind your back while he had his knee in your upper back. I know that the pro wrestlers in Germany call this a modified Iron Cross, but you were able to get out of this by kicking Zach in the head with both feet from a sitting position. This is a remarkable display of flexibility, and it would have shredded the hamstrings of even in-shape average football and baseball outfielders. Now, as part of your flexibility, now, I know you said martial arts, but how about yoga or Tai Chi?
No, it's strictly from the martial arts. Gymnastics years ago helped me earn my flexibility, but I've tried to stay with it since. So I would probably attribute it to mainly the Taekwondo training and the gymnastics.
Well, I didn't know you had a background in gymnastics. Did you compete in gymnastics in high school or maybe college?
Yeah, high school. So it's been many years, but I still, when I do my stretches and stuff prior to, I mean, I can still, for the most part, bend over and touch my forehead to my knees when I'm stretching. So I've got some pretty good flexibility for somebody my age.
Wow, oh, man. Now, did you do was your specialty the pommel horse?
No, I actually like the rings a lot more, and anything that I was kind of on my own, not using any props like rings or pommel horse or anything like that.
Wow, all right. Well, I spoke of the German Iron Cross earlier. Were you able to do the Iron Cross on the rings?
A couple times. It takes a lot of upper body strength to do that. And back in the day, I only weighed about 145 pounds, so it was easy when you're working out with the football players and stuff and weightlifting and you weigh 145 pounds and you're benching 305, you got a lot of upper body strength.
Holy smokes, 305. Well, I can see I'm not going to challenge you into a bench pressing contest. However, I may challenge you to a tap dancing contest because I took tap dancing in seventh grade. Does tap dancing count?
We'll work on it.
I was like Butters on South Park, Butters tap dancing. Yes. Somehow that doesn't seem to scare a lot of wrestlers, though. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Lone Star, at the 22-minute and 28-second mark, Zach made a run at you when you were in the corner for what I assumed would have been a stinger splash, albeit modified because no one can really do a stinger splash like a stinger. However, you got out of the way and Zach was left bent over at the waist reeling. You then delivered a Pele bicycle-like soccer kick to his head. And here's the other question. In addition to all the other sports you play, did you play soccer as a kid? And why don't we see more semi-pro or pro soccer players with their strong cardio shape crossing over into wrestling?
Yes, I played soccer when I was a kid. I, in fact, helped coach my son when he was in school playing it. And as far as the soccer players joining up to be pro wrestlers, they're probably smart not to. the cardio part of it is great, but it's the other crazy stuff that most of them look at and go, oh, hell no, I ain't going there.
Oh, okay, I could see that, yes. All right. I mean, there may be an outside chance we may see a Portland Timber quit his team and make a BCW debut. Maybe.
Anything is possible, man.
Yes. All right. Well, at the 23-minute mark, Gregor Petrov grabbed you from behind and stalled your momentum. Sign guy immediately called for the bell. Gregor Petrov then bit you on the forehead while Zach Winters got the jumper cables that Gregor brought to the ring. Zach wrapped the jumper cables around your left knee, and then he secured the jumper cables to the middle rope. Petrov then began kicking your jumper cable-held leg. Then both Moonshine Brothers came in and took care of Zach and Gregor. In fact, Gregor got punched in the head about 9 times, plus he got choked with his own jumper cables. Pa Moonshine also made his presence known at ringside. Now, everyone knows that IAQT votes have a little bit of heat with Pa. In the past, have you gotten along with Pa Moonshine and his boys?
Well, when they first came in, you know, I wouldn't consider myself a redneck, but I have redneck tendencies, I guess. So we kind of got along a little bit. Pa's all right. He's given his boys some direction, and they beat us for the tag titles. So,
you know, they can't all be bad, right? That's true, yes. Okay. All right.
Well, Lone Star, you said you made your debut at the age of 32 and have now been wrestling for 16 years. How was your resting pulse back then, and what is it now? Keeping in mind that one of our best runners that America has produced, Jim Ryan, he broke the 4-minute mile mark in high school and captured a silver medal, and he ran against Kip Kano in the Olympics. He had a resting pulse of 38 beats a minute. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your resting pulse was when you broke into the league?
I have honestly no clue. I never even thought about anything like that. I just know that I went till I couldn't go no more and then somehow found energy to continue on. And I'm still doing that 16 years later.
You know, I have a suspicion that during your matches, your pulse rate probably gets up near 120 beats a minute. Yes, 130.
Okay.
That's probably true. It's probably true. And I don't know how much of that is adrenaline and how much of it's, you know, just me trying to beat the heart out of my own chest.
Oh, all right. All right, well, now you mentioned earlier Chris Jericho, who besides wrestling is in the rock group Fozzy. If you were to form a band with other BCW wrestlers, who would you have as your drummer and bass player?
Well, drummer, it'd have to be myself. I've been doing that since I was in the fifth grade. Tex Thompson, probably on vocals, because the man, he's got a set of pipes. Guitar players and stuff. Maybe LB and JB Moonshine on bass and lead guitar.
Wow, this is fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, I didn't know you were a drummer. Wow, how many times have you seen Rush in concert with Neil Peart?
I've never seen him in concert, although Neil Peart is probably my favorite.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. All right. Well, could you see Darkness being a clarinet player in the mode of Jethro Tull? Darkness.
Wow. saxophone, maybe, but I doubt clarinet.
Oh, all right. Now, speaking of Darkness, what did you think of Sign Guy checking that skull of his a few weeks ago back for foreign objects?
Anytime you get near Darkness and that skull, good luck to you. That thing creeps the hell out of me.
Wow, all right. Okay. It also makes Roy Lovejoy very nervous. Yes.
All right. Yeah, any smart man will stay away from that.
Okay. Now, Lone Star, if you freeze the Zach Winters versus Lone Star 422-15 video at the 252 mark, you can see the popcorn machine behind the counter at the concession stand. Is the popcorn at BCW your favorite concession? And what do you think of Buddy Highway walking to the concession stand and getting a hot dog in some of his past wrestling matches?
I don't care much for popcorn, but
As far as Buddy going for a hot dog, hey, man's got to keep his energy up, I guess, right?
Yes. Do you see the time when the Gresham Savior will one day grab a hot dog and try to feed it to Darkness's skull?
Again, it's professional wrestling, bro. Anything is possible.
Oh, wow, all right. I'm going to hold out hope that Buddy Highway does do that one day. That'd be great. All right. Now, can we have your thoughts on a more serious subject, the passing of Northwest legend Roddy Piper and Slick Nick Bockwinkle, who also wrestled for Don Owens?
Mad respect for both. Roddy I knew personally. I'd met him a few times, worked for him a couple of times, worked for him on his comedy tour. When he came in and did the comedy tour at Harvey's Comedy Club there in Portland. Nick I never met, unfortunately. But I've seen a lot of his matches from the past. And again, mad respect and may they both rest in peace.
All right. If Slick Nick were alive today and you had a chance to meet him, would you give him an autographed Lone Star Cowboy hat?
If he asked for one.
Oh,
but
wow.
I would much rather get something from him in not so much an autograph, maybe a sit down, you know, to kind of pick his brain on some things.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, Lone Star, I believe the first time I saw you in action was at the Grange Hall in Tigard, Oregon. That may have been the first time I also saw Big V in action. Is there any chance that if Big V makes a comeback, that you will team with him? And were you a big fan of his sock puppet, Bob?
Bob was unique. I mean, you see a lot of things come and go with a wrestler. That was definitely something that was made especially for Big V. As far as tagging up with him, Big V's, he's a little more out of my league as far as the weight class and stuff. Not that I can't take him or whatever, but as far as a tagging partner, I don't see that happening now.
Okay. All right. And another word association. How about Sideshow the Clown?
Crazy.
Okay, crazy. Okay. And here's my last question. Do you ever see the day where QT Vokes will arm wrestle T-Rex in the BCW ring?
That would be a sight.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Well, if I do wrestle him in arm wrestle him in the ring, could you give me some arm wrestling pointers? I sure could use some.
Yeah, it's all about the thumb turn, bro.
Wow, all right, okay. All right, well, Lone Star, it was good talking with you. Thank you for your Army service, and I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and hopefully I will see you this Sunday down there.
All right, you take care of yourself too, man. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, QT. Now, just for the record, QT is currently 0-1 when arm wrestling referees. That is formal record.
Damn. That was embarrassing.
It kind of was. Now, Lone Star, I know in the course of your career you've been on shows at many, many, many different venues and on the independent wrestling circuit, some venues are better than others. Some of them are rather strange. What's been the oddest venue where you've had to wrestle?
I'd say the oddest for me was wrestling in somebody's backyard. Not as a backyard wrestler, but just doing a show, a benefit show for somebody out of somebody's backyard.
This wasn't the one where Greg Valentine appeared, was it?
No, sir, it wasn't.
Okay, because he did one of those as well. Now, one of the aspects of wrestling that a lot of fans enjoy, some not so much of a fan of it, but it's been a staple in wrestling for decades, is the comedy aspect of wrestling. Right now, looking back at your career as a whole, who would you say had some of the funniest comedy gimmicks?
They had a guy in NWA called the Freak. Nobody knows whether it was a man or a woman. That one was different for sure. I think one of my favorites, there was a guy that's been around, I think, almost as long as I have. They call him Latino Blanco or something like that. He's pretty funny. He's pretty funny. I had a chance to go against him a couple of times, and it's hard to stay serious in a match when you've got somebody that rolls around and dances all over the place. It's tough to hang with.
That's true. I've actually officiated some of his matches. Mooey, call me call. Now, speaking of dancing, at BCW in particular, there's been many a wrestler that has stopped for dancing in the middle of a match over the years. Sideshow, for example. What's your thoughts on the mid-match dancing that seemed to become extremely popular in the days of ECW?
Well, you know, it's all part of the gimmick. If that's something that works for you and it throws your opponent off, you know, psychology is how we work it.
Have you yourself ever had a match stopped midstream for a dance competition?
Dance competition, no, but I've been in the ring with, like I said, with the Freak, with Latino Blanco, and they tend to stop whatever they're doing and dance around a little bit, and they want to try to get you involved, and I might shake a little bit in the beginning of my match, maybe at the end of my match, but I'm all business when it's bell to bell.
Now, I don't know if you're exactly familiar with this promotion or not, but in the state of Texas, there is an actual Lone Star Championship Wrestling that promotes cards in Texas. Have you ever come across this promotion, and is there any company in the world that would seem like a better fit for you?
I'm pretty at home with blue collar wrestling. I've been to Texas and wrestled with a couple of promotions down there, neither of which was Lone Star Professional Wrestling, but hey, I'll go where home is, you know.
It seems like a perfect fit for me because, you know, if they put your name in the promotion, how could you lose?
Right.
Now, being up here and being the NWA Pacific Northwest television champion, you've had a lot of successful title defenses so far, but looking at the current roster, who are some of the guys on it that you're looking at as potentially your biggest challenge for the title?
Well, anybody can have an off night, and anybody can have an on night. Myself, I think somebody like Gregor Petrov, he might be trouble. A lot of dirty tactics. I don't think he could beat me one-on-one straight up, but dirty tactics, I don't know. That's always a possibility. Zach Winters, if he'd have stayed focused, you know, maybe he would have beat me. I don't know. But I can't think of anybody right now that's really eyeballing me much.
I think they're all just trying to push whoever at me. I'm good with going with anybody, so it don't matter.
How about Bob Hardy?
Good old Bob. Yeah. There might be a fun opponent for me.
Have you ever seen Bob dance in the ring?
Oh, God, no. I don't like horror shows.
Ouch. Now, there's one person recently returned to the roster that seems like he's an up-and-comer and seems to be on the right path now. The son of one of your trainees, Kane. What do you make of the progress that Kane has made in the short time he's been in the wrestling business?
Well, considering that I trained his daddy, Kane, he's impressive. Him and Tyson Lee, I think, is his partner. Yeah, those guys are going to be up-and-comers for a while, I think.
Definite upside and a lot of potential out of the role models, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we have just a few minutes left in the show, so I want to give you plenty of time. If there's anything you'd like to say to the people listening today, plug and promote anything and everything you want, social media, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite bakery, whatever it is, floor is all yours.
Well, this is Lone Star from BCW, Blue Collar Wrestling, Portland, Oregon. Every Sunday night, wrestling at the Eagles Lodge, 7611 North Exeter. Every Sunday night, 6 p.m., be there. See the champions. See the Moonshiners. See Bad Blood, the Pacific Northwest Heavyweight Champion. See Lone Star. Come out and see us all. Help support your local independent wrestling. This is Lone Star. Feel the love.
Lone Star, always a great pleasure having you on here. We won't make it such a long time between visits next time. Thanks so much for being on, and I will see you soon.
Thank you, brother. Much love to you and your wife, to GQ or QG or whatever your name was there. Buddy, thank you for the questions and such, and it's always a pleasure to talk to both of y'all.
All right. Fans, you can check Lone Star out at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, 7611 North Exeter in Portland, Oregon. Current reigning and defending television champion for the Pacific Northwest. Get out there, support your local independents wherever they may be nearby you. Lots and lots of wrestling in the next few days. Seek it out, support it, and we will talk to you Sunday afternoon.
It's Friday night.